What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And this week, we are talking about kooky Stephen King movies. It's the beginning of a new double feature. We're talking about two... Man, just throw a dart into that guy's bibliography. Guaranteed you're hitting a kooky one. Like, all of his stories, every single one of them.
Pretty kooky.
Pretty kooky.
Pretty kooky.
Including... Thinner, directed by Tom Holland, originally written under the pen name Richard Bachman.
Yeah, so technically this is not a kooky King. This is a kooky Bachman.
Come on. Yeah, but then 1985, what, 7 years after this book was published, we put out a book called The First Four Bachmans by Stephen King.
So because he was outed. The screenplay of this was also co-written by Michael McDowell, who wrote Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Beetlejuice, Tales from the Dark Side.
A ton of Tales from the Dark Side, a ton of Tales from the Crypt. This feels like a Tales from the Crypt.
It feels like a television episode stretched into a feature
film. We haven't done our three good things yet. You're not allowed to shit on the movie, John.
Okay, well, for anybody who hasn't seen it, you can guess from the title what it's about. A bad lawyer who accidentally causes...
You can get that from the title?
You can get all that from the title. Yeah, no, a man is cursed. An overweight lawyer is cursed. An overweight lawyer trying to lose weight is cursed to become thinner and thinner and thinner until he wastes away. There is a great line in the movie where he says that he's being erased. That's kind of great.
It is pretty good.
That is pretty good. But the rest of this movie, kooky. Kim... Give me three good things about Thinner. One of them can't be that it's kooky.
No, okay. Okay, so number one, I'm going to say this is a body horror film. There is a lot of practical effects in the movie.
Okay, sure.
And they're really well done.
They do look good.
The fat suit on Billy, the lead character, is really well done. It's seamless. His face looks great. There's a shower scene. I don't know if I like the chest piece, but then like when he starts to get thinner and gaunt, there's a lot of, you know, variance on the weight loss as it progresses.
Yeah,
we get a little into stage makeup as we start getting a little gaunt.
Eh.
But I love it the entire way through, and because it's so reliant on those practical effects, every single scene you're gonna have something.
The entire movie, yeah. Like, there's one moment in the middle where, oh, this is what the real actor looks like. And then from there, we just have to keep making him look thinner and thinner, more gaunt, more sickly. So you're right.
Lots of blankets, lots of towels, house coats.
Pretty much every scene of this movie has some practical element to it. I don't love referring to it as a body horror movie. I guess it's a body horror movie. I don't know. Something, it's not, oh, that's the tricky part about body horror, right? Like, David Cronenberg just kind of changed what body horror is.
Okay, so, but if this was a Tales from the Crypt movie, the only difference between it being a curse is that it would be a tapeworm.
Okay.
Body horror, right? As soon as you say tapeworm, you're like, oh yeah, it's fucking body horror. Same process is happening. He's losing weight very, very fast. Soon, he will die.
Horror!
Also, one guy gets turned into a lizard. It's all off screen. But
that was
like,
going to be a number two good thing.
Yeah, but it's an alleged lizard, John.
I've seen this movie a lot. And as a kid, I think I watched a copy of the movie with the director's commentary, I think. Because I can't find any of this info anywhere on Wikipedia. But I swear, headcanon. I have heard previously that they tried to do it, but they just didn't have the budget for the lizard man stuff, or it didn't look very good. So they cut it all out, because it's all relayed via his wife, who's like, you won't believe what's happening to him off screen. Oh, it's truly you wouldn't even want to see it. Oh. Yeah, no, my good thing number two is that a guy gets turned into a fucking lizard. Like, what a great...
You can't use that as a good thing, because you're selling something that we don't see.
Okay, fine. Then my good thing number two is Joe Mantegna, who is...
That's what's going to be my thing.
Fat Tony from The Simpsons playing a completely different, less fat mobster in this movie.
Yeah, he's definitely a mobster in this. And I guess he's supposed to be the bad guy. I would argue...
How do you figure out who the bad guy in this movie is?
Well, Billy is pretty awful, and he does not learn at all the moral of the curse that's been put on him.
No.
But Billy's just, like, hired goon bad. He just shoots up an entire encampment and is... Just because his friend was like, hey, I've had this curse put on me, and he's like, don't worry, I got you, bro. I'm gonna murder some people.
We're getting into the weeds of it. Okay, so it's hard to tell who the bad guys are, but Joe Mantegna, definitely one of them. Fat Tony's here, repping it for the mobsters. What's our good thing number three?
You were totally just trying to cut me off. You're like, stop talking, Kim. We're in the three good
things. We're in the intro. Like, yeah.
Good thing number three, and I won't get into it too much
because it's
definitely the finale of the movie.
Ah, this would have been my good
but
thing
fucking
number.
Cursed pie!
Yeah, cursed desserts. Don't you love it? Strawberry pie that's been cursed.
You know,
that just turns people into goo.
All bad news should come served in dessert. Like, sir, your mother's died of cancer, and you're like,
having a bite of pie.
That's so awful. Can I get some more whipped cream? Give me
some cream. Did you weigh yourself?
297.
Billy, you were 297 last week.
Will it take some time for these diets to work?
For Billy Halleck, life is sweet. Bigger is better. And too much is never enough.
Winning!
Dear God, stop eating like that.
I can't help it, Heidi. All I think about is food.
But tonight, all of that will change.
You kill my daughter, and I curse you. Sinner!
From the best-selling novel by Stephen King comes the new Shape of Terror.
This diet you're on, what is it?
I don't think you'd like it, Henry.
I'm being erased.
Fear the power.
That old gypsy put a curse on me.
It's all your fault if you hadn't hit that old lady.
Beware the danger.
This is getting out of hand.
This has been out of hand, and I'm just the guy to put it back.
Believe the curse.
Please, take it off before this goes any further.
I never take it off.
Stephen King's Thinner. More terror. Less filling.
Thinner is currently sitting at a 5.8 out of 10 on IMDb, 19% on Rotten Tomatoes, with an audience rating of 31. So not much better. And a 2.7 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Now, I mentioned up top that this is directed by Tom Holland, who we all know and love from Child's Play and Fright Night. And I gotta tell you, this is not the only kooky Stephen King movie he's directed. He also did Langoliers, which, fuck.
Isn't that your favorite fucking made-for-TV Stephen King property? And it's so weird. I'm surprised we're not doing it in this double feature.
We shoulda.
It's so fucking weird. It's airport meatballs that travel through time.
And somehow it's scary. Yeah. It's just too long because we'd have to watch the whole thing to talk about it on the podcast. It's like,
oh, yeah. Isn't it like four parts?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those TV movie events.
It's too much.
It's really good. They also, we're not even talking about this movie, but this is my soapbox. We're never going to talk about the Langoliers on the podcast. There is a really, really weird movie that came out not long ago.
Is this Langolier related?
This is Langolier related,
which is thinner related.
Yes. There's this really weird movie we saw at a film festival a couple of years ago that I don't think it's ever actually come out, because it's one of those like art pieces that you'll see at a film festival that can never be sold because it's just it's a rights issue. Anyway, this movie's called The Timekeepers of Eternity, and it's the Langoliers, but like cut down into an hour-long episode of television, but it's like it's all done on scraps of paper. This makes no sense to anybody. imagine the Langoliers remade, cut down into 1 hour, but it's all doodles on pieces of paper.
Who is this for? Is this just for you?
Me. It was for me, and it hit hard. It was amazing. And if you can find it, you should see it. It's just like a weird piece of art. And the world's better for it. It's similar to how the world is better because thinner exists. This is not a good movie. I'll say that right up top.
I liked it.
Yeah, but not good.
No, it's...
I liked it too. Not good.
I live in this weird soft spot, and maybe it's because it reminds me so much of Tales from the Crypt and Tales from the Dark Side and hours of made-for-TV horror that I buckle in, I sit down,
okay,
and I appreciate. But I'm just here for the ride.
There isn't like a part of you halfway through that's just like, oof, we could have cut 40 minutes of this?
I mean, it is a little long, but if we were to cut anything, we would cut out the mob boss and
who
starts
not.
Murdering the people that put the curse on him. So, like, I wouldn't cut it.
No, okay, so I'm saying I like this movie,
too. We wouldn't cut Fat Tony.
I've seen this movie a lot. I've seen it a bunch of times, but I would never tell anybody that it's a good movie. I would say that I like it very much. The same way that The Pope's Exorcist, probably not a good movie.
Oh, terrible. It's trash.
Great movie.
I would like to buy it now.
Exactly.
We need it on Blu-ray, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Probably was not helped that we watched an old VHS copy, and the whole time we're just like...
Probably was not helped, or was helped immensely by?
I'm not sure, because I could occasionally see my reflection in the window, and it would look to just like your face. We were like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, there
on?
Was a lot of dialogue I did not capture.
It just warbled and chewed up, and it's like, do we upgrade to Blu-ray? Is that a bad move? Is this movie available on Blu-ray? I don't know if this ever went beyond VHS.
Probably in a Kooky King 4 film set.
Oh, yeah, at Walmart.
We could in the bin, yeah. Like maybe $8.99 DVD.
Langoliers is definitely included in that 4-pack.
Definitely.
Yeah, if we're lucky, we get Silver Bullet.
If we're lucky, we get Rose Red with it, John.
Maybe. Maybe it's a 4-pack. Of Richard Bachman movies.
Ooh, are maybe there any other Bachman movies?
Oh, there's tons of Bachman movies. Let me give you the Bachman best. We got The Running Man, which is wild.
That was a Bachman?
That's a Bachman.
Huh.
Way different from the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, but the Edgar Wright movie that's coming out sounds like it's going to be a little closer to it.
How much did Bachman write?
He also wrote The Long Walk, which is eternally being adapted. Last we checked, Andre Overdahl was supposed to be making it. Maybe he still is. Who knows? Good book, though.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a whole bunch. He kept writing books after that, even after he was outed. Like, Stephen King, like, wrote the introduction for a collection of Bachman books saying, like, this is why I did it. And they still kept putting out books.
That's fun, though. Because then it becomes, like, meta and fourth wall.
Kinda, yeah. The Bachman thing is weird because he was trying to... In his introduction, he was talking about how he wanted to figure out whether it was luck or talent, what you would attribute his success to.
So he was like, if I write these books and I don't, you know, sell them with the Stephen King name, would I still be a big name in horror?
Exactly. And they didn't put a lot of marketing behind it. Like, the whole idea was like, will people just find these books because they're good or not? He got outed too soon for it to really for like the results to
consensus
really...
not made.
Yeah, because like I think I had read that Thinner sold maybe, I don't know, like 20,000 copies, 30,000 copies when it first
like,
came
isn't
out.
Isn't that good for a book?
In 1978 or 84 or whenever, great. Not really great. But then like when everybody found out that it was Stephen King, sales went through the roof.
Mm.
That's at least what he said in the introduction for his book. But more likely is that it was... you know, standard industry practice that you only put out one book a year.
Yeah.
And Stephen King's writing fucking 8 books a year, you know, picking and choosing which 4 to publish. So he created the pseudonym so he could publish more books.
You'd think, though, that even though, like, he did do it because he was just like, well, screw you guys, I write 15 books an hour.
Yeah. I'm an early adopter of cocaine. I write so many books.
You'd think, though, that the Bachman, using a pseudonym, he would differentiate between the King name. Like, he would use Bachman to, you know, write maybe The Green Mile or, like, something that's,
oh, sure,
that's not as genre as the other stuff. Keep horror for King and do everything else under Bachman.
I'm sure if you're a big Stephen King nerd, you'd be able to tell me the differences between the two of them. I was reading them when I was, like, a young teenager, like 12 years old. So
Thinner,
like,
feels like King, though, is all I'm really getting at, is Thinner feels like King.
But we're basing that on the movie we just watched, which was adapted in a post-Bachman world.
Oh my God, John. It also feels like Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah.
Which does kind of feel like Stephen King products.
The man kind of changed horror forever, you know? That's just how it is. And like Stephen King, the premise is so simple. The setup is so easy. And then we just really dig into it for maybe longer than we need to.
The setup is so weird because we know that Billy, our the lawyer we're following, who gets the curse on him, we know he's a bad guy. From the get-go, maybe it's just because of the casting choice. Like, they cast such a perfect actor for the role. He looks evil.
Well, he's a defense lawyer who's defending a mobster, which we just assume.
Okay, I understand the morality police of TV who are like, well, he defended a guilty client. It's just like, yeah, but that's due process, and that's all part of the system, and he should have a defense attorney who defends him even though he's guilty.
Yeah. I think the slimy part is that he's like, well, I wouldn't defend him if I wasn't fully convinced in his innocence. Like, okay, that's a lie. But, like, all you have to say is, like, I don't care whether he's guilty or not. Everybody deserves a defense.
But he's an asshole. We all know he's an asshole.
Yeah. He's an asshole to himself. Like,
Yeah, and he's an asshole to his body. He does not treat his body well.
Everybody around him is rooting for him to lose weight. And not just because they're like, ew, fat, gross. They're just like, you're at a point now where it's unhealthy. Like we're
hypotension is a thing.
We're worried about you having a heart attack. His wife has created an entire program on a very early 90s laptop where she's graphing his weight loss and everything.
She's very involved.
She's making him smoothies in the morning. He's complaining that they taste gross, and it's like the most disgusting thing on the planet. It just looks like blueberries and milk. It looks fine. It looks delicious. I would drink it.
He eats a lot of Doritos in this. This is maybe the most Doritos I've ever seen on screen in a single thing that wasn't a Doritos commercial. There are different scenes where he's eating Doritos.
While he's driving, too. Like, he's going from one meeting to another, and he's eating Doritos.
As he's losing weight, I don't think there's a moment where he's not cramming food in his mouth.
Okay.
He goes to the doctor and he's eating.
That's the thing that drove me absolutely insane. I'm like, who eats at the doctor's office?
And like at some point, because of the rapid weight loss that he's experienced, that is like paranormal levels of weight loss.
Yeah.
I guess he starts adopting this must eat lots of calories, otherwise I'm going to waste away.
Yeah, so but nobody ever says that out loud.
Yeah, like there's no point where he goes from eating because I really like food to eating because, oh shit, this weight loss needs to slow down at some point. There's no moment where we flip the page from one to the other. It's just like, I eat Doritos for fun to like, I eat Doritos because I'm dying.
Yeah, like where she's like, this diet you're on, you gotta stop. He's like, does it look like I'm on a diet? And
he's
like, putting
cookies.
He's wearing
an apron.
he's putting cookies in the oven. But he's eating one raw one off the pan. Like, he's not licking a spoon out of the bowl. He's like, oh, before I put it in, I'm gonna eat this one. So, yeah, there's a...
We've all been there.
yeah, but I usually don't grab it off the pan with my bare hands like I've rescued it from the oven.
Like a bear getting salmon out yeah, of the river.
Exactly. Okay, so there's a carnival in town, and he has just won this big case, and to try and, oh, you know, honey, life's about more than just food. You can't think about food all the time. Here, let me help you think of something other than food.
Which is like so unsexy.
Because yeah, you're making food part of the foreplay.
And I don't like it at all.
She goes down on him while they're driving. And so he's super distracted. And he runs over an old woman who's part of the carnival that's in town. Her father.
Which is not addressed at all. Her father looks younger than her.
Yeah, they look like they're maybe brother and sister,
yeah,
or husband and wife.
Yeah.
He curses him at the courthouse because, like, the cop, the judge, they're all friends of his. He's a lawyer in a small town. There's a whole bunch of collusion. Nobody cares
about
it.
Yeah, he definitely could have got a manslaughter charge. He was distracted driving, for sure.
Absolutely. But everybody's prejudiced against the gypsies in town. Like, oh, they were in my pharmacy and they were stealing. Stephen King cameo as a pharmacist who's like, oh, I think she was running out of the store because she was stealing. Like, this fragile old woman who's there to pick up a prescription was stealing? Come on. Everybody's in on it. The cop lies on the stand. The judge doesn't care about the evidence. So they're essentially sweeping it under the rug. They're letting him go scot-free, even though he should have been charged with vehicular manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
He's cursed at the courthouse by the old man. He just brushes his cheek and says, thinner.
Yeah, it's like he knows he's on a diet or something. Yeah. He's just like, this is going to be a real good moral lesson for you. Like,
which is basically from then on, he starts losing weight rapidly. I think within the first, 7 days?
He's
he loses
14 pounds.
And he's not alarmed. Like, I would be terrified if I lost that much weight that fast. And his wife is. His wife's like, you know,
when you're like 300 pounds, though, I mean, I'm sure there is a period of elation when you're finally, the diet is finally starting to work.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, it very quickly it becomes apparent that the weight loss is very, very fast.
Yeah.
And not slowing down.
They're worried that it's cancer. Like, that's their thing. Like, which is always a fun line, too. Like, oh, if I'm fat, it's a heart attack. If I'm skinny, it's cancer. Like, what the fuck do you want me to do?
I mean, we also might think it might be a tapeworm, but...
there's also that, yeah. But
that would be my first thought. I'd be like, there's a worm eating my food inside me.
I don't like that thought. Let's... no.
That's what I would
that
be
that would be just because of how...
I watch horror movies. I know a worm when I see one.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So anyway, everybody involved in this, the cop, the judge, the lawyer, They've all been cursed.
They all get cursed.
We, in some regard. We find out later on because, like, the judge stops showing up at golf and we're not seeing him at dinner and it's just his wife eating sad 5-star Michelin restaurant dinners by herself. When he goes to see if the judge is okay, she's like, he's a lizard man now.
It's a really long lizard man scene.
Yeah, he's in Baltimore. We've hidden the lizard man away.
And so we just believe that he's turning into a lizard man. But other people are like, no, he's got skin cancer. He's going to get treatment for his skin cancer. And you're like, but his wife says it's lizard skin, and not cancer skin.
And the cop is sort of just bloated, like he's overcome with ulcers.
He's getting boils. Yeah.
Which seems like a reasonable curse. Also, the thinner thing just sort of works because
I don't
understand
why. So when one gets lizard, one gets boils, and then Billy happens to get the most poetic irony curse of the three. Were the other guys, did one guy have a lizard hang up? Did the other guy have boils
right.
as he was a child?
Yeah, like, no, I know. Those are the things that don't really make any sense. Like, I just love the idea of the old man being like, what to do with these, I know, lizard. Because they even say to him that he's like, he touched me on the chest and he said lizard. You're like, okay. Like, he's really just like, pulling words out of the air.
Well, I guess he did have psoriasis because remember the doctor was like, oh, it's just your psoriasis acting up. So maybe him becoming a lizard is extreme psoriasis.
His wife said that it was reptile skin.
I know. Psoriasis, though, your skin dries out and gets all crusty and stuff. And so maybe the curse version of that is like lizard.
Well,
I'm trying to bring us there, John.
Yeah. Oh no, you're landing this plane. Yeah. When he goes to see the cop who blows his brains out after
off camera, that is a leap.
That's the way you do it. He says like, oh, he became a lizard, eh? Well, I guess he finally became what he was. Was he trying to say that he was a snake? That he was, because like lizard doesn't make any
sense. Cold-hearted.
Cold-hearted.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Cold-blooded.
Cold. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Lizards. People just don't like crawly critters, I think.
No.
They're all bad lawyers.
I don't know. It doesn't quite make sense. It'd be funny. It'd be way better if one of them was just getting fatter and fatter, right? Like, that'd be fun.
Like, one's gaining the weight that the one's losing?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no justification for any of them beyond Billy, the lead lawyer.
It is weird how little they're included in it. Like, maybe they're just supposed to show Billy that, like, this weight loss thing is not going to stop. Like, for some reason, they're going at an escalated rate to him.
Well,
they die in, like, 3 days.
Yeah.
He has, like, a week and a half.
Do you really think this whole movie takes place over a week and a half?
I feel like it.
It feels like a week and a half sometimes while you're watching it. But no, like, it's, I think it's like months. Maybe.
No, it is not months.
No, you don't think so?
No, I'd say it's a week and a half to less than a week.
Man, so much happens in a week and a half. Now, it doesn't necessarily make sense at first that the other guys are dying so much faster. But I think it's because there's nothing they can do to stop the lizard skin or the boils. But because Billy's wasting away, like it's kind of like he's like walking up an escalator the wrong direction. Like inevitably he's going to hit the ground. But it's like he's just trying to keep up the pace by just shoving calories in his mouth.
Also, he's starting from a precipice. Like he's starting at 300 pounds. He's got quite a lot of weight to lose to get to organ failure mode.
But at some point he's just eating nonstop all day. Whatever.
Ew, at one point he yells at his wife in the kitchen and he's got like food coming out of his mouth. And I was like, this is true body horror. It was gross.
Yeah, but that's what he has to do, right? Like, I think he would have been dead a lot sooner if he didn't have the superpower of like unlimited intake.
I don't know if the calories it's consuming are doing anything. I honestly
I don't think
it's doing anything at all.
I think it's giving a plant a single drop of water.
No, I think the weight loss itself is magic and has nothing to do with the calories he's consuming.
Okay, well, he confronts.
What are the poos like? Like, if you're fucking eating 15,000 calories a day.
Kim, it's the one question.
The true horror of it all.
It's the question.
Do they evaporate? Because he's losing weight.
Nobody's got the guts to ask, and I want to give you the credit for asking the hard questions and holding this movie's feet to the fire.
I'm going
to
send Richard Bachman an email.
Yeah.
What of the poos?
Tell us about the poos, you fucking coward.
It's probably in the book. There's got to be at least some poo talk.
Now, here's the question. Is that a Stephen King thing, or is that a uniquely developed Bachman thing where he's like, Bachman's really into the shits? He did create like a backstory for Richard Bachman, eh?
I love that.
Like a whole biography for him.
Of course he
for
did.
Him.
Yeah. He's a writer.
It's only natural. I gotta also tell you. Let me see if I can find my phone. Just while we're back on the Bachman thing, there is one fun detail I found about Richard Bachman. Stephen King basically buried Richard Bachman.
What?
Yeah, they put out a... oh, this is insane. After Bachman's... This is directly from Wikipedia.
Wait, is Richard Bachman dead?
Yes. But he has released novels posthumously. And because some continue to be found in his notebooks. Oh. But anyway, so this is directly from, like, the press notes that came out in, like, 1985. After Bachman's true identity was revealed, later publicity dispatches, and in the About the Author blurbs, it was revealed that Bachman died suddenly in late 1985 of cancer of the pseudonym.
Aww.
A rare form
of
schizonomia.
Didn't he have a brain tumor removed?
That's part of his backstory, too. Also, he and his wife tragically lost their son very young after falling down a well,
sounds
very Stephen King-ish. Like, there's no way, but he also didn't think Bachman was haunted by the ghost of his own son.
Oh, he absolutely was.
He's really cheesed about, I bet, is that he was hoping to later write that memoir.
He never sold that summer home, and that's where he goes to write. To write his horror novels, and like his writing room overlooks the well where his son died.
Oh God. And sometimes when he's got writer's block, his son just whispers into his ear.
I don't know. That now it's too creepy. Take me out of this theorizing.
The second half of this movie is truly not insane, but like just from a story beat perspective.
Yeah, we go off map. Like we turn the GPS off. Like,
he's basically like a day away from dying and we're halfway through the movie.
Yeah, he just holds on. He calls up his newly exonerated mafia friend and he's like, you know, the Romani people called me the white man from town, and now I'm white man from town cursing them, but I'm also dying, so I need you to perform this curse.
I need you to curse for me. Which is what the white man really does. He delegates.
It's true. And there's no cursing involved. He just goes and shoots up their camp.
Yeah, he poisons their dogs. Yeah, he shoots their camp.
Yeah, the dogs.
He tricks them into killing one of their own. And so they call it off with the best final, the best solution for a curse ever. How you have to
honestly
pass the curse on.
After a lackluster middle where you're like, what is all this mafia stuff?
Why do we have acid?
There is acid.
Yeah, he booby traps a girl like, here's a jar of acid. Don't let it spill on your face. Not worth getting into. He meets the old man again who cursed him.
Well, see, this is the trope, though, of the gypsy curse. You do have to pass it on. Like, it can't go away.
Like matter. Curses and matter cannot be destroyed.
Yes.
They can only take other forms. So, yeah, he has to poison. You have to give this curse to the pie. And then you have to give the pie to someone else.
And I had forgotten that at one point he gets his hand shot through, which looks pretty fantastic.
The doctor
looks through the hole. It's wonderful.
That's a great little practical effect thing. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
But then
I always love when somebody looks through a bullet hole, especially in a hand.
But then the old man stabs through that open wound and he bleeds into the pie and the pie is like...
Yeah, the pie like bubbles. Like it knows it's cursed.
The pie is the Necronomicon what the pie is.
It's moving around and shit.
I love the pie.
Like,
the
yum,
pie
yum, yum.
Is the star of the movie.
Which is why it was one of the good things, for sure. He immediately starts feeling better.
I thought you were going to start addressing the pie as he. He goes back to the man's home, and he sits
patiently
on the counter alluringly.
But yeah, Billy, the lawyer, he goes back home. He's immediately feeling better. He's starting to gain weight.
And he hasn't even passed the curse on yet, which
exactly.
I guess because the curse is in the pie, it's out of his body.
But I think he has to give the curse soon, like very quickly, probably before the pie goes bad. Otherwise, I would assume he gets the curse back.
Mm.
And we also glossed over the like weird conversations where he's decided that his wife is cheating on him with his family doctor.
Yeah, just because he's seen his wife with the doctor a bit. While her husband is going through an extreme, strange weight loss and has broken out of the in-care doctor-patient study he's involved in.
Well, Joe Mantegna, the mob guy, who I'm just going to call Skinny Tony, is he lets him know that they have
Richie
Tony has learned that the doctor and his wife have sort of they've admitted him to a mental institution in absentia. So they've effectively like closed the door on him. Like,
well, I think that's just if anybody finds him, that's where he's going to get put.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I think they put out, like, an APB on his mental health not being great.
Which is, yeah, because we also find out that there's a missing poster. There's, like, not a bounty on his head.
I like that the only photo they have is of him huge.
Yeah, he doesn't look like that at all. It's like, okay, imagine this guy, but he's, like, lost 250 of the 300 pounds. Like, he looks awful right now. This is why I think it's hilarious that you assume this movie takes place over a week and a half.
It does take place. It does take place over a week and a half.
There's a murder. There's a trial. There's a developing period of a curse. There's APBs.
Okay, we're at the end of the trial. We're at the last day of the trial.
I guess they do remark on it being... No, I mean like to the trial, like the coroner's inquest for the
It was
the
just
death
a coroner's inquest. It was an afternoon.
The very next afternoon? Yeah. I doubt that.
Yep.
Anyway, he brings the pie home, and he's decided
he brings the pie
home. He is intending on delivering the curse to his wife as revenge.
Yeah, because he's learned nothing.
Not at all. So
we should all be learning that revenge does not taste as sweet as the pie on the counter.
Thank you so much, Kim. You've really brought this home.
Thank you.
He has not learned a goddamn thing. And, like, he retreated into himself. Like, he's... gone once he's cursed, because he's either like freaking out about how he's losing weight, or he feels so good that he's ignoring his family. Nobody gives a like, everybody's worried about him. He doesn't give a fuck. He's not around. He's just screaming all the time, like, of course she was looking for comfort with somebody else. It doesn't necessarily mean that she's cheating on you. She just needs some sort of emotional support that you're not giving.
You know, the real moment that their marriage was over was when she clicked delete on that spreadsheet in the computer, which you know happened at one point.
She's completely turned her back. He leaves the pie for her to eat.
And he says it's strawberry, where it's clearly cherry. Blood and cherry.
Absolutely blood and cherry. But strawberry is her favorite. And he's like, I know. I'm going to go to bed. You go ahead and die alone in the kitchen.
Yeah, and then he says something weird and ominous on the stairs and just goes to sleep.
Yeah, when he wakes up in the morning, he's like, honey, are you there? Did you try that pie? And when he pulls the sheet back, it's like she's had Ebola overnight.
She's a gooey husk.
She's a gooey husk. There's blood coming out of everywhere. She's just like a shell of a person. She's just like hair and skeleton and gore. It looks awesome. And he's like, oh, good morning to you too. Like, he's not worried at all about how he's going to fucking explain this to the cops.
Right?
I left town for... 3.5 days.
Oh, officer, this husk of a wife was definitely natural causes.
Yeah, you leave town for under mysterious circumstances, come back out of the blue, and then your wife is gored. There's no way you're going to be like, I think she had a really bad flu. Like, it's just not going to go. Like, nobody's going to be, everybody's going to be like, did you poison this pie? Because you also keep offering it to all the investigators who are looking into this homicide. And, you know, unfortunately, he discovers that...
He kisses the husk wife.
He kisses the husk wife.
And he's like, tastes like pie. And we're all like, ugh.
He kind of open mouth kisses her,
It was
too.
A real gross kiss.
It was a lot. Like, you would expect, okay, maybe just like a, thanks, honey.
Thanks
but,
for dying.
But no, he's like, like, he's practicing on his hand kind of kissing. Like, when he's like 8 years old.
It was inappropriate.
I didn't like it. But when he goes downstairs, he discovers that his daughter had come home. And in the morning, she's eaten a slice of pie for breakfast. Effectively dying as well. Like, she's going to be dead before the afternoon.
Yeah, and so I think he's deciding now that he's going to finish the pie. Because, like, why live? My daughter's dead.
But he goes in to take a bite of that pie when the doorbell rings. And Dr. Adultery is at the door.
It's Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike is at the door. And he invites him in for a nice breakfast slice of pie.
He calls it breakfast pie.
Would you like some breakfast pie?
It's the biggest lie of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, even the fact that his daughter was like, I just had some of that pie for breakfast.
I thought you were a defense lawyer. You're just like, this here, evidence A, breakfast pie.
Somebody's like, surely he means quiche. They look down, oh no, that's a strawberry pie.
Surely he means quiche.
He just forgot the name of it. We've all been there. Oh no, this is blood and cherry pie. Do you think at the end of the movie, because he's very happy with himself, he's like, ah, today's gonna
be a
good
day. He's completely forgotten that his daughter's dying when he's like, come on in, Mike.
Do you think that he eats the pie? Or do you think at this point he's just like, well, real sad about my daughter, but I'm getting full ass revenge. And
I think he eats the pie.
Yeah, he thinks so. It's just like it ends on him being so happy about being able to kill the doctor as well.
He's a psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's a straight up psychopath.
That's true.
Did he have a bite of the pie before Mike came, or did
he brought a forkful to his lips and he didn't bite it before the doorbell rang. And I love that he's in despair. He's killed his wife. Yay, happy about that. But now his like 14, 15 year old daughter is also going to die horribly.
And he lets her go off to hang out with her friends.
She's like, I'm gonna go play soccer with Lisa. Like, that's not going to be the most nightmarish afternoon of Lisa's life.
Yeah, like now Lisa has PTSD.
Can you imagine you're playing soccer with your friends and one of them just turns to goo in front of you? That's the deleted scene we should have got. Oh man, but then yeah, he is not distraught enough to ignore the doorbell. I wouldn't have answered the door. I would have just eaten that goddamn pie.
Yeah, if you were going to eat your suicide pie, like, you'd probably just take the phone off the hook. Yeah, you wouldn't answer the door.
Better answer this door first. <Don't>,
yeah, I was honestly expecting an ending where he ate the pie and then he went up to bed and he lied down beside his wife. That's what I was expecting. But instead he's like, come on in, Dr. Mike. Let's eat this breakfast pie together.
He could still have done that after eating his own pie.
Why are we debating, like, the nuance of the pie? The fact of the matter is he didn't learn anything and his daughter had to die because of it.
Yeah.
And he murdered his wife. Which
everybody dies.
She was a nice lady.
She was.
All she did was care about him.
That's true. What a monster.
Actually, everybody was really nice to this guy. Even the mafia guy. Even Richie was nice to him.
Everybody.
He had a fucking Tommy gun shipped to their hideout.
The only people.
Via UPS.
Every single person in his life just wants the best for him, and he kills them horribly. Like, they all die. He's like Walter White, right? Like, he's like a cancer in the center of the relationship of everybody that he knows, and he drags them all down with him, and they all die horrible, horrible deaths.
Which is what makes this a horror movie.
What a kooky horror movie.
It was very kooky.
Now, I'm very excited for next week's Stephen King movie, because it's truly kooky. I think this one's just a little absurd. Like, this one's kooky, but just makes some weird decisions. It's like such a strange movie because it kind of feels like an hour of television that's been stretched out. But
I mean, though, you have to give it praise for being pie related horror.
I love a cursed pie. Sure. Yeah.
Not enough
of them. Next week we're talking about I almost said the Langoliers.
You're like, next week, the Langoliers!
Yeah. We're changing course here. I mean, fuck, I might watch the Langoliers just for fun, so we can talk about it some more. Next week, we're talking about The Lawnmower Man, a truly kooky movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen this, so I'm very trepidatiously excited.
Barely a Stephen King movie. It's like, it's based on a Stephen King story in name alone.
Is it a short story or?
It is a short story, yeah. It's not a Richard Bachman story. It's from, I think it's from The Skeleton Crew. It might be from Night Shift. I'll tell you all about the short story when we sit down to record that episode. But before we get into that, I need a rating from you for Thinner. How would you rate Thinner?
Oh, man. It's hard to say because I like it more than its rating.
Yeah. I feel the same way. So you go. I don't want to influence your decision at all.
Okay.
I'm giving it a 2.5 out of 4.
So I'm giving it a 0.5 pie bump.
Well, yeah.
And I'm giving it a 2.5 out of 4.
I baked that pie bump into my rating.
I had fun, though. Like, I love the curse trope, and it's such a generic story, but I love, you know, somebody being cursed and the whole process of not believing in the curse, and then the curse happens, and then you have to pass it on, and it's such a fun, like, monkey's paw type story, it's like, you get what you deserve kind of thing.
Exactly.
And I enjoy it.
Even the old man, once they put the curse into the pie, encourages him to eat the
pie. Yeah, he's like, you should just do this clean, like, just eat the pie and die. It's what
you
deserve.
You want to die clean. Like, if you know death is around the corner, like, it could go bad at any moment. It's the most important thing at this point is dying clean, and he doesn't do it, and he just takes down everybody around him. Do you know who that old man is?
Yeah, he's the dad from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Why didn't you bring that up at all?
I don't know.
I just...
It's not the crowd.
All right, fine. Okay, well, there we go. We just got to keep going on. Like, how many horror connections can we make to My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Because, like, first off, dad, obviously, in Thinner. Andrea Martin is the crazy aunt who was in Black Christmas. I think the husband's been in a horror movie. He was in the Deepwater. The Deepwater?
Oh,
47 meters below or 48 meters below, whatever the sequel was. He was the dad.
Oh, yeah.
We could keep
48
sure
meters
more down. Joey Fatone had to be in a horror movie.
It doesn't matter. This is such a weird. We're cutting this out.
Anyway, that's what we thought of Thinner. Let us know how you rate this movie, where it falls in your Kooky King ranking.
And if you have any other favorite Kooky King adaptations that you watch all the time and you're just like, I know it's not good, but I love it.
I feel like there's like five.
What's your Langoliers?
Yeah, what's. Exactly.
John has Langoliers. I have Rose Red. We all have our own Kooky King.
Somewhere out there, there's a Tommyknockers fan who's like, I really like that weird alien thing. I'm really looking forward to that James Wan movie that's probably never going to get made. Okay, thanks, bye. There's always so many Stephen King projects up in the air in development that maybe never will see the light of day. And fingers crossed they are all as kooky as Thinner and The Lawnmower Man. I'm really excited to talk about that next week. But in the meantime, let us know all about your favorite Kooky King movies in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord. And consider supporting the show at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub, where you can get hours of bonus content to chew on in between regular scheduled episodes of the show.
Until next time, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
We should have said stay kooky.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.